Welcome to the first of two special OnFIF podcasts on global currencies and the outlook for 2019. I'm Ben Robinson, Deputy Head of Research at OnFIF, and I'm joined by Simon Derrick, Chief Currency Strategist at BNY Mellon. Welcome, Simon.
Hello, Ben.
So looking back at 2018, it was a year of a lot of geopolitical tensions with escalation of the US-China trade war, growing uncertainty over Brexit, Italian budget saga, and many, many other issues. And these all have received a lot of coverage for the way that they've affected markets. But Simon, what do you think have been the most important factor moving currency markets this year? Was it the politics, or is it still driven by economic fundamentals?
Well, it's actually the central question, trying to understand where we are right now. I guess my starting point is, on the face of it, you'd have argued that currencies actually followed the same old drivers that they followed for quite a few years, and that it was about interest rate differentials and not a lot else. If you looked at, let's say, the difference between two-year treasury yields and two-year bund yields in Germany, you'd have seen this year that the yield had moved pretty steadily in favor of the dollar all the way through until November, and then basically stabilised. And you could make an argument that you looked at the euro and it had strength. The euro had weakened steadily from the second quarter of this year all the way through until November, and then had stabilised. But I don't know that that really tells the tale. I mean, if I stand back for a second and I think about actually the performance of currencies since the start of the year, it's kind of three or four distinct stages. Dollar was weakening in the start of the year. It didn't care about interest rates at all. We had that stumble in equity markets around February and March time that saw the dollar start to improve precisely because it was the safe haven currency of choice. There is a good argument that rather than it simply being about the Fed getting ready to tighten rates at a steady pace through the latter half of the year, that dollar strength was far more about concerns about what was happening elsewhere in the year through the spring, summer and autumn. And in fairness, equally, you could argue that quite a lot of what's happened in the latter stages this year has had relatively little to do with what's been happening to yields. But instead, again, it's been concerns about politics, whether that's in Europe, in the UK or in China. So, yes, on the surface, there's a simple argument to make. This is about yield. But my heart of hearts, I've got to say, I think politics in one form or another and the impact that that has on people's perceptions about growth has probably been a key driver here.
Isn't one of the risks of currency markets being moved more by politics than the economic fundamentals that, in a sense, they might go too far, that the fundamentals don't back up how low a currency might have fallen, and therefore some of these countries may be expected to see a rebound? Do you see that? I mean, Europe is kind of its own special case, but do you see that in other countries where currency might be a bit too low now?
I'm not saying too low, because in fairness, if you look, I mean, there are some extremes. Clearly, the Turkish lira has had a dramatic year, and the Brazilian real and the Indian rupee have all had substantial moves. But in fairness, if you were to look at most of the mainstream currencies, they aren't a million miles away from where they were at the start of the year. The euro absolutely has weakened, and I think there is a strong argument that it has weakened on the back of political concerns. Equally, sterling, which most obviously has been impacted by concerns about Brexit, even there, we aren't trading that much below where we were at the start of the year against the dollar. And actually, if you look at sterling against the euro, it's pretty well and much within the same broad range it's been in for the last 12 months. So I'm not making the case that we've seen things being driven to radical extremes so far, except where truly radical politics have come along in emerging markets. It's kind of interesting to ask why we moved to one extreme where it didn't matter. And I'd say that one of the key factors there was simply that interest rates and monetary policy settings more generally were so extraordinarily accommodative that investors to a large degree were forced to seek yield above almost anything else.
So if I can summarize your point then, I guess one of the reasons why politics has been so important in currency markets over the last few years is that low interest rates and QE have pushed investors to more risky markets where politics is naturally a more important driver of those markets. Is that more or less what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
And then you have on top of that in the background now this period of monetary policy normalization, where in addition to whatever local political and other types of risks investors might face, you also have tightening monetary policy in the US. You have the end of net asset purchases in the euro area and many other countries looking in some way or another to try and normalize policy, if for no other reason than the fact that in the face of the next crisis, they need to make sure that they have some amount of monetary policy ammunition with which to combat whatever crisis comes along. So my question to you then is, despite the politics, policy is playing a role. How do you think the end of QE is likely to affect the euro?
A really fascinating question. So first things first, I think you're absolutely right to make the point that the return to importance of politics as part of the driver for the foreign exchange markets has coincided exactly with the move towards normalization of the foreign exchange markets. The interesting bit about QE is, on the face of it, you would absolutely argue that if we looked at QE as being a prime driver for currency weakness, you would argue QE as being a fairly straightforward way of weakening your currency. And the flip side to that is you'd argue that monetary policy normalization, and let's use the deeply politically incorrect phrase of quantitative tightening, at least which has started in the US, should be a driver of currency strength. But when it comes to Europe, the curiosity is that as the ECB has wound down its asset purchase program, you really haven't seen that much support coming in for the euro. And okay, it is probably fair to say that the European Central Bank has done a pretty good job in terms of using rhetoric to dampen expectations, to cap any currency strength that comes through. But nevertheless, it's still got to be surprising to say that we have wound down the ECB's asset purchase program to zero, and we have the euro trading at the lows of the year. That's a pretty astonishing statement.
The way that the ECB is conducting QE, they have ended net purchases in December, but the point is there is this huge, huge reinvestment program that will go on for many, many more years, and also they are going to keep interest rates low for a long time. The US is actively raising rates, potentially in the UK as well. Euro area is committed to low rates and this massive reinvestment program that must be having an effect on the value of the euro as well, despite the end of net purchases. Do you think that is a factor in the lower euro?
Without a shadow of a doubt, you've always got to put these things into perspective. Yes, of course, they're going to continue reinvesting, but the reality is they've stopped adding to that program. So that's the first really important bit. The second bit is the Fed is far more cautious in its rhetoric in recent weeks about where monetary policy is going to go. And in simple terms, the benchmark yield differential has moved absolutely in the euro's favour. And so you have to ask yourself the question, if it's not about yield differential, which ultimately has been such a key factor in the last 20 years, this post-1995 carry trade world, yield more often than not has been the dominant factor in terms of driving currency direction. So you have to ask yourself, what else is going on? Well, to a degree, there's been a story about Italy. I will absolutely accept that. But of course, the other story that's been going on has really been about the politics in France and the protests that have been taking place. Now, again, I'm very careful that when we talk about politics, ultimately, it's always about how it feeds into economic growth. Of course, that's the real underlying story. But of course, the key story that we've been talking about in terms of the protests that have been taking place in France is the impact that's going to have on economic growth. And already we've seen the numbers starting to come through telling us that that will be a significant factor. But once again, we come back to this simple fact that if you're looking for one simple explanatory factor why the euro has failed to rally in a world where yield differentials were moving in its favour, it has to be said, it's about a political story emerging at a time when, in fairness, the economic data is starting to slow, as it is in many parts of the world. So, yes, it's about the economic backdrop. Yes, it's about what the ECB and the Fed does. But there's this overlying story about how politics starts to impact what's going on. And I think the euro's as good an example as any currency out there, barring maybe sterling, of that political story starting to come back in and the markets having to react to that.
And of course, there's a sort of feedback here, isn't there? Because politics is driving the euro lower. The lower the euro gets, in a sense, the more competitive European exports are. And of course, the most competitive of all is Germany. There is a huge political issue about Germany's massive export surplus, difficulties politically with the US, but also economically within the euro area and adding to imbalances there. So this is politics driving markets, driving politics. It's sort of an endless cycle here. Do you think we can expect sort of greater risks to the downside as a result of all of this? Or do you see an end in sight and eventually all this interest rate, yield differential and so on, eventually leading to a stronger euro? What's your sense on this?
I don't know I see an end in sight, because I think that this is actually a normalization back to a world that is more familiar to us. I think the first thing you have to say is I don't think that the European Central Bank will be overly worried about the fact that the euro is stable in the mid to low teens against the dollar. Historically, you've seen comments come out from certainly from France, and implicitly from others, including the European Central Bank, about currency strength whenever the euro is trading much above 120 against the dollar. And famously, French officials would always point out that much above 120, Airbus would start to look uncompetitive. And certainly when the euro was trading above 120 in the early part of 2018, you certainly had the sense that European Central Bank felt that the currency was fully valued. Now, it's probably worth contextualizing a little bit before we get to does this continue and how it plays out. Europe has spent much of the last decade and a half complaining about currency strength. Through 2003-2004, there were fairly pointed comments made about US policy. It was implied that maybe the US was following a policy of benign neglect towards the dollar, and certainly there was an attempt in late 2004, again, around about the time of, I think it was the G20 meeting in Berlin, to try and pressure the US to do something about the currency. But of course, nothing happened about that, and Europe had to live with a strong currency through much the next decade. From the perspective of the European Central Bank and everybody else, in politics, is helping keeping the euro down when they are tightening monetary policy. I'm pretty certain they're feeling happy right now. However, I think the problem is in 2019 that if we are moving towards a world of slowing growth, which I think there's plenty of evidence that that is the case, and probably even more importantly, seems to be the belief of Jay Powell and a number of other central bankers, then the likelihood is that central bankers will react to that. In particular, I think the Fed, there's a good chance that they will react to that, and that they will take a far more cautious and conservative line of monetary policy. So if we're in a world where we're talking about one interest rate hike in the US rather than the three that were previously expected, and we're talking about a more risk-averse environment, which, given what we've seen over the last 9 months, doesn't seem that unreasonable, then the likelihood is that you're actually going to see a dollar that weakens.
What happens then in that case? Because we talked about the dollar strengthening and we have a sort of flow out of emerging markets back into the dollar, as it tends to happen when rates rise. If you're saying that the rate of increase will be slower or even the dollar might start weakening again, does that mean that we're likely to see flows then back into emerging markets, or how will this play out?
Yeah, and that's the risk. So, I mean, I think there's two possible ways that this can play out. Typically, in a world of extreme risk aversion, two or three currencies will typically strengthen. And that'll be the dollar, it will be the yen, it'll be the Swiss franc. Those are the currencies that you will see more than anything else doing well. And in fairness, if you look this year, even though there haven't been that many major movements, actually ultimately, the currencies that come close to the top of the list are the dollar, the Swiss franc and the yen. So no big surprises there. However, if we avoid that extreme risk-off event, and it's a more general risk aversion that's driven by slowing economic growth, and we're talking about bear markets much as we've seen this year, rather than being an extreme market event like 2008 or 2001 or 1987, then it's far more likely that actually what you see is money moving away from the relative high yield of the dollar looking for returns elsewhere. So again, to that extent, it does start to look a little more yield-driven.
Thank you very much. That's the end of the first part of our series on global currencies and the outlook for 2019 with Simon Derrick, Chief Currency Strategist at BNY Mellon. The next episode will be released shortly.